What's up, listeners? Welcome back to Alex's podcast adventures. To start, I just want to say an enormous thank you to all my listeners, because if it wasn't for you guys, this podcast would not be possible. Okay, so for our third installment of the week, we're going to be tackling a very pressing issue in America today, the opioid crisis. But before we get too addicted, let's hear a message from our proud sponsor, Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Here at Walgreens, we sell everything you need. With our expansive food supply, personal care products, and our glutted pharmacy, we are all you could want. Currently, we have some fantastic deals going on. Get a free 2-liter of any Coke product when you buy 2 bags of Lay's chips at a regular price. 50% off 2 packages of Gold Bond Wort Cream. Lastly, print your first 50 pictures free when you sign up for your Walgreens Rewards card. Don't forget about our illustrious pharmacy, a house for any drugs you need. Send your prescription to Walgreens and pick it up within the hour. You won't be disappointed. We are proud to say our pharmacy is the fastest in the nation, and we rely on your support to keep us running so we can keep you healthy. Remember, the next time you order a prescription, send it to your local Walgreens on the corner of happy and healthy.
Welcome back, listeners. Okay, so today we are going to be talking about a more serious topic than what I normally talk about. From time to time, I watch the news, surprising, and a couple of days ago, I saw a story on what is known as the opioid crisis, and I found this very interesting. For some context, a few years back, I broke my arm, and I had to go to the hospital to have surgery to repair it. It was really bad. When I was sent home, they also sent me with a prescription of hydrocodone. These pills were really nice to relieve my pain, but when my arm began to heal, I stopped taking the pills. When I was watching this news channel, they were saying that people in similar situations to me were getting addicted to these pills. I was shocked because what I was hearing could have easily happened to me. That is why I feel that it is important for us to dive deep into this topic today and educate ourselves on these dangerous pills. Helping me today is an old friend, Nick King. Would you like to introduce yourself, Nick?
Hey, Alex. So I started out my career with a triple major at Northwestern in music performance. Don't really use that anymore. I kind of suck at it. But anyway, I also had a major in communications as well and psychology, which helps towards our debate a little bit today. Mm-hmm. But then I went on to get my master's and doctorate at Harvard, starting out in psychology and then moving into a medical doctorate field where I practice now. And I'm currently working at the Cleveland Clinic, where we work on stuff such as opioid addiction to figure out what the problems are and how we can fix it in America today.
Wow, that's really cool. More than I've done with my life.
Oh, you'll get there.
Well, okay. So after I watched that very interesting news report, I decided that I should do some research of my own. And what I found was just some little tidbits. There are still some things I need to get like mushed together because I don't understand all of this.
Cool.
Okay, so what I found was that for the past 20 years in the United States, we have been in what is commonly known as the opioid crisis. And for any of my listeners who don't already know, opioids are commonly prescribed pain relief medications that give off morphine-like effects. And then opioids also include the illegal dark heroin and synthetic opioids such as fentanyl. It is common knowledge that I eventually found out that opioids are highly, highly addictive. And that is why they've been so dangerous and so impactful in the United States today. Mm-hmm. So I found this really, I guess, disturbing piece of data from the Center for Disease Control. And the Center for Disease Control told me that 130 Americans die daily from opioid overdoses.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. And this is happening for, like, a couple reasons, I guess. Like, I found that they're being overprescribed. People mm-hmm. are lying about them. People aren't treating them the way they should.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not always user error. Like, sometimes it is, but sometimes they're getting put in positions where they just become addicted, and it almost, like, wasn't their fault.
Yeah, like, doctors mess up, too. It's crazy.
Right, right. So then I was like, okay, well, what are we trying to do to find a solution to this? And we've tried a couple things, and obviously if 130 people are dying in America daily, like, it's not working. And it's just really mind-boggling thinking, like, we have this big issue, but we don't know what we're doing about it. And I think it's really important that we find a solution to this crisis because of all the people dying. And we need to find it as soon as possible because it's causing so much chaos across the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Nick, I guess from my small amount of research, I guess I have a few questions that maybe you can help clear up for me and my listeners to help us better understand the opioid crisis.
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, so my first question is, how is the opioid crisis affecting the U.S. currently?
Okay, so the opioid crisis is rooted in the issue of opioid overuse, and the ramifications of opioid use disorder can be irreversible to many people, even leading to the deaths that you so cited in your CDC article, which is a huge point to put on. Furthermore, in the past 20 years, nearly 400,000 people have died from overusing or accidentally overdosing with opioids.
That's crazy.
Both going just from prescriptions to illicit use. The problem is that America is ravaged by these opioid overusing disorders that hurt every facet, from blue-collar to white-collar Americans. Some of these factors lead to people overusing for greater pain relief, self-medication, other illnesses, and just an escape from stress or outside pressure. Abuse of opioids is common because of the addictive characteristic these pills carry. The strength of the high opioid brings users to want that back and over again.
Right.
Once the first time they try that opioid, they think it feels really nice, and it makes them feel in a state that they have never had before.
Yeah.
And they keep coming back to try and get that release. But the thing is, once they try it once, it never feels the same, leading them to try and get higher and higher doses, which eventually leads to that overdosing that we see. And another problem that is ravaging America throughout this opioid crisis as well is the issue of buying and selling illegal opioids. Heroin has made a comeback in the past few decades in America that has been hugely detrimental to our whole population. The high heroin brings in similar to the high given by medically prescribed opioids, but it's much more dangerous. Literally, in hospitals today, we have a drug called diamorphine. It's almost chemically identical to heroin in its first sense. But the thing is, heroin is illicitly manufactured and many times has dangerous chemicals in it that hurts the patient. But we also have other things that are hurting people as well, such as illicitly manufactured fentanyl, or IMF for short. It's a highly potent form of opioids that creates stronger euphoric effects. But the thing is, it's really, really, really dangerous. And little has been done to combat this entire problem in the first place. While we have all these illicit drugs flying around, nobody is actually doing much to actually help the core root of the problem. The opioid crisis is far-reaching and comes to a point where it's not exclusively for adults as well. Nearly 9,000 children and teenagers died from an opioid overdose in the past 2 decades. So while we think of this as a problem for just burnt-out adults that we see on the streets and we try and throw that cliche view on, the thing is that children also are facing this problem as well. And this is a staggering number for a problem that seems so mature. In addition to this, stealing pills has become common practice because of the easy access, and it makes patients more susceptible to try and have them over and over again until they get ensnared into addiction again. Both of these routes lead to the same problem, where everyone continues hurting themselves over and over again and leading to more and more addiction. And then we can see that as these problems continue on, it only hurts the foundation of America as well, hurting us all as we continue to become addicted.
Okay, so I think I get it. So people take these, people get prescribed these pills, or they buy these drugs off the street, and it gives them this sort of euphoric high, and they just always want to be on that high.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's where the addictiveness comes from, and that's how we've gotten into this mess. People just want to be high all the time.
Yeah, and the thing is, they just, they need it. It gets to a point where their body needs this, and just keeps happening the over body's and crazy. Over again.
That statistic about the children really did me in. That's awful.
I had to read it a couple times to actually figure out, like, what it was telling me, because you'd think in a country as advanced as America, with as many doctors like me trying to work towards a solution, we wouldn't have that many children dying from something as stupid and preventable as an overdose.
Like, this is really bad, but when you start bringing children into it, it just makes it worse.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have this issue, but like, what are the factors that are perpetuating this crisis? Like, what is really happening to cause this crisis?
Okay, so the first and the really big one is doctors. They're just overprescribing in a lot of points where patients don't need them, leading them to get hooked easier. And it's been seen many times that doctors are pumping out opioid prescriptions faster than ever. According to a recent CDC study, more than 191 million opioid prescriptions were dispensed to American patients in 2017 alone. This number should not be surprising to anyone, because opioids are coming more and more often as physicians get more laxed about just handing them out whenever a patient has a problem that they need fixed.
Hold up. So what are some of these problems that like people would need opioids for? Like, I know they're pain relief, but like,
well, the thing is that like patients will use them for anything, and many times, while it just seems like pain relief at first, they also are used for something as simple as anesthesia and surgery. Yeah. Patients will take them afterwards and realize that they just like them a little too much. And they also are being overprescribed in situations where you never would think that a doctor needs to prescribe them in the first place.
Right. Like, do you think these patients are exaggerating their pain just so they can get some more opioids?
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
It's a huge problem we've seen at the clinic, where patients will get prescribed it once by a doctor who thought they were just trying to help them out with the pain. Then they just come back in for another, saying that they accidentally fell down the stairs or they accidentally hit their arm on their car.
Oh.
It's all these problems where they don't actually show any real symptoms. They just want the drug more and more. And overprescribing is actually becoming out of control. It's coming to a problem where doctors are prescribing more and more for problems where patients don't actually need the drug in the first place. According to a recent study, 71% of users have received drugs through methods other than prescription, meaning that once the doctors overprescribe them, even if the doctor won't prescribe them back in the first place, 71% of them are willing to go out and find some other way to try and figure out how they're going to get their drugs.
Right.
Meaning that even if a doctor overprescribes once, it's still going to lead to the same problems.
So you're saying that people get prescribed these opioids, but then a majority of the time, they don't even end up with the person who actually got prescribed them. Like, they're just being diverted to other people.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge practice. People going in, and then they can sell them for huge amounts of money.
Capitalism.
And the thing is, I know, yeah. See, this is our problem. And the thing that makes it even worse is that doctors actually aren't doing anything to help them.
Right.
Many times, when they give them one prescription, we'll cut them off, and we think we're doing them better. But it just sends them out to the street to get even more drugs that weren't prescribed for them in the first place. So another issue that we need to get into is healthcare providers. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot to hurt this problem as well. One nasty little pill can summarize the devastating role healthcare providers play in the opioid crisis. The pill is methadone. Methadone is the most deadly prescribed opioid on the market, and healthcare providers do not seem to care about the harm it caused people. Public and private insurance designate methadone as a first-line drug for chronic pain. And I know what you're thinking, it's not because of its proficiency for relieving pain, but it's because of its extremely low cost. The thing is that healthcare providers just want to pay as little as possible, and they don't care if they end up getting millions of people hooked in the process. And it's logical for healthcare providers to think this way, especially when 10 milligrams of methadone Methadone is $20 compared to 10 milligrams of oxycodone being $164.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, and methadone is one of the most prescribed opioids. In fact, it's prescribed way more than any other opioid, causing it to lead to a lot of problems as well. What this means is that doctors and pharmaceuticals are just trying every way to let the healthcare providers get their cheap costs out of the way, even if it means people are going to get hooked in the end.
So the healthcare providers are just looking for themselves to make money.
Yeah, they're literally
They don't care about anyone that, any of their clients, any of the people they're representing. Like, they
Like you said, capitalism rules. They just want to get as much money as possible. And if it means shoving them to a crappy drug that in many cases will actually hurt the patient, so be it.
Sick.
And, well, the final thing that actually causes towards this problem is pharmaceuticals. Beside the obvious role, the pharmaceutical companies have producing opioids, they also perpetuate the crisis through false advertisement of their products. When opioids were first introduced way back a couple decades ago, there was no reason to believe that they were as dangerous as they are today. But stealth pharmaceutical companies claimed that their products were relatively harmless. While people knew that they may cause some parts of addiction, pharmaceuticals were happy to cut them off as the equivalent to Advil. In fact, Purdue Pharma claimed that the risk of addiction of its OxyContin aged 12 years or older, 12 years, was estimated at 500,000. We can see what this means is that pharmaceuticals keep going in this role, where they simply don't care actually about the addiction or the causes and the problems they may ensue. But rather, it's the same thing with the healthcare. They just want their bottom line to be good. And if it means they need to over-advertise opioids to 12-year-olds, they're willing to do it.
Okay, so we've covered these three really big factors that lead to the crisis. But going back to my research, like, I didn't find that much about what we need to do to stop this problem. So what should we do to help stop this?
Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to talk to the doctors. We need to reduce overprescription in the first place because that's one of the largest causes. Because while pharmaceutical companies may be greedy and healthcare providers may be cheap, a lot of times it comes down to what the doctor puts down on the prescription pad. And when they just pawn them off to a couple OxyContin, they're just sending them down the bad path in the beginning. We need to have drug monitoring programs put in place because when we put these kind of programs in action, it makes sure that doctors don't go too far.
Ooh, I think I saw those in my research. Those are the things that they track the pills that the doctors prescribe and that the patients have, right?
Yeah.
So that they always know where the pills are, who's getting the pills, how many of the pills they have.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, those sound smart.
We instituted those actually at our clinic a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And the results have been amazing for our area and our hospital.
That's great.
And another thing we need to make sure that we do is we need to make pharmaceutical companies come clean about their products. The problem is there's been a campaign of misinformation within pharmaceutical companies. They throw in these advertisements saying that it's safe, it's cheap, it's awesome, and everything's rainbows and sunshine. But the thing is, we need to clamp down on these pharmaceutical companies and make sure they come clean. Because if they admit that their products are actually kind of screwing over everyone, we can make sure that the public knows the truth about these opioids.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and one of the final things we need to do is we need to offer alternative measures of pain relief as well to make sure that we don't end up hurting people. Because when we continue down the same path, we offer better options for patients so they don't screw themselves over in the end.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is if we do all these things and we implement them as soon as possible, you think this will work?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that we need to, I mean, it's going to be a careful path, and it's going to be rocky, but if we start working towards these goals, we can make some progress.
Hear that, ladies and gentlemen? You heard it here first. We have the solution to the opioid crisis. Well, I guess that's the end to our interview portion of this podcast. Nick, thanks so much for coming on. It means a lot for you to come help us better understand this opioid crisis.
No problem. Anything to make sure we can fix this problem as soon as possible.
Great. Thanks. To conclude, I would like to thank my listeners for tuning in on our podcast and give a big shout out to our sponsor, Walgreens. Without everyone's help, this would not be possible. Until next time, thanks for listening to Alex's podcast adventures.